today on Real Radio.
But things just cycle, and it's true about nations, it's true about people, listen, it's true about companies. There's a cycle that goes on, and history has a tendency to repeat itself. That's God's way of warning us. So when we study history, we can look and see what we can avoid or head toward in the future. And so whenever there's a nation, or I should say there is never a nation that comes into existence or ceases from existence without God being involved in that. Though it may not look like it, though his hand may be seemingly removed from it, even if it's a terribly godless nation, God is in the business of raising up nations and taking them down.
You make me, you break me, you change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges. And this week we're in a mini-series that's taken from the first part of chapter 6. This is where an angel appears to Gideon and calls him to deliver Israel from the Midianites. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Let a Man Arise.
And there will be a man arising to come to the rescue of Israel yet again, as he will be one of the judges that we're reading about. There are about 25 judges that God will call by the end of this book to come and govern over and help Israel during its time of need. And we come to the man Gideon tonight. We've just put down to rest, I should say, that as Deborah in our preceding studies, and now we come to this man Gideon. And if you're taking notes, jot a few things down, would you, regarding this. Regarding Israel being a nation, and God has the judges established to guide them and to lead them. It is before the times of the kings. God had been led, or I should say God had been leading Israel. They were under the jurisdiction, of course, of Moses and then Joshua. And Joshua dies. And his leadership comes to an end. And what happens is God raises up judges for the nation of Israel. And we see this cycle over and over again of Israel seeking God, then getting content and happy and prosperous with God, and then turning their back on God, and then being judged by God, and this endless cycle. And so tonight we enter into chapter 6, which is now the fourth cycle of this strange yo-yo relationship that Israel has with its God. He is incredibly faithful. He's nonstop providing for them. He's announced to them his goodness, his care, his love for them. It is undying. It's unwavering. But unfortunately, Israel's heart is fickle. In fact, God in the book of Isaiah mentions of Israel that she is like a dromedary. You know what a dromedary is? It's a camel. A dromedary in heat. Female camel. He says Israel sniffs at the wind. And she tries to discern where her mate may be coming from next. And she leaves her God, Yahweh the Lord. And she goes after whatever is in the area. God likened Israel to like a dromedary in heat. And that is a terrible thing. Human emotions can be like that. It's bad enough when a nation begins to conduct itself like that. The creation of a nation is an amazing thing. The Lord has spoken, by the way, in times past, by the prophet Jeremiah. And it says in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 9 through 10, that the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, Jeremiah said, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. And behold, I have set this day over you the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. That is an awesome thing that God is saying through the prophet Jeremiah. And we see it lived out here in Judges. It is God who says through his prophets that this nation will arise, that nation will cease to be. These people will come into power, and these people will wane. Church, we need to be very smart historically as people. We need to study and know history, because It's by knowing history that we can project and look into and be ready for the future. Because listen, you know how Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun? That is so incredibly true. Those of you who are about my age, I'm old enough to have worn, when was this? I think it was like 1974-ish. Maybe you can help me out memory-wise. Was it 74, 76? That's 1976. Bell-bottoms. Remember bell-bottoms? Remember those things? Remember during the big hippie time, bell-bottoms, and some of them were gigantically huge and all this stuff? And remember miniskirts? All that stuff. Isn't it funny how they just recycle? They just come again. Everything's like that. There was a time when Elvis Presley looked really radical with all that he wore, and then it came back, and then it goes away, then it comes back. You know, when you get my age, you don't throw clothes away. You just keep them and wait for the thing to come back and save some money that way. But things just cycle, and it's true about nations. It's true about people. Listen, it's true about companies. It's just a cycle of things. There's a cycle that goes on, and history has a tendency to repeat itself. That's God's way of warning us. So when we study history, we can look and see what we can avoid or head toward in the future. And so whenever there's a nation, or I should say there is never a nation that comes into existence or ceases from existence without God being involved in that. Though it may not look like it, though his hand may be seemingly removed from it, even if it's a terribly godless nation, God is in the business of raising up nations and taking them down. And so he spoke through the prophet Jeremiah. God establishes the national boundaries of kingdoms and of political powers. God does this. The United Nations, they don't do it. Even right now, with all that's going on in Afghanistan and Iraq, God rules from heaven. It's not the Taliban, it's not Al-Qaeda, it's not even the United States, it's not the coalition of forces. God is moving nations. When Saddam Hussein was hung to death, did that surprise God? Did God not know? In fact, in the grand scheme of things, in God's divine plan, what happened and what's happening in the world around us is that things are coming right on track, right along the way, exactly as God had warned and how things must go. It's amazing. We certainly have a big God. In Romans 13, verses 1 and 2, it says this, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities." Wow. "For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that do exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists the ordinances of God. And those who resist will be brought into judgment upon themselves." God says here in Romans chapter 13 that the authorities have been ordained by him. What if they're bad authorities? Does God not know? God knows. God even sends despotic and tyrannical rulers to judge nations. This is part of God's plan. But listen, it's very important to note that God establishes and God puts these powers into being. You need to know that as we begin to see in the book of Judges here, beginning now at chapter 6, we look at this title, Let a Man Arise. What is it that the Lord is going to do? And this is I think in the next couple of weeks we're going to be very encouraged because Gideon is a fun guy. Our temptation is to judge him as a man who is lacking in faith. Our temptation is to say something like, "Gideon, man, God appears to you. He speaks to you. Why don't you be a man and believe him?" And you know, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to hear about Gideon laying down the fleeces. Remember that story? The fleece. And Lord, make the skin wet and the ground dry. And then make the ground dry or wet and the fleece wet and dry and all this stuff. And how about that? And I'm going to try it again. And he reverses it and all this stuff. And people make fun of him. "Oh, man, look at him. He's such a weak guy." I don't know about that. He wanted to be sure. He was certainly not a warrior. He was certainly not a judge. He was a farmer. And God will call him to do a great thing. If God called you to do a great thing, wouldn't you want to be sure it's God calling you? Man, if you're not sure, if you're not going to make sure, then you've got an ego bigger than all of ours combined. That you would launch out into some grand adventure without really hard, and fast seeking God's will to confirm all these things? Man. So let a man arise. Verses 1 through 5, this is what we learn. Let a man arise in the things that lead us toward revival. Israel needs a revival. Watch what happens. Then the children of Israel, verse 1, did evil in the sight of the Lord. That's the fourth time at least we've heard that. Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Why? Because, guys, we just came out of the great deliverance of Deborah. Remember, she delivered them and they did great. Guess how much time has gone by? About almost 50 years, about 48 years, somewhere between 48 to 50 years has gone by. Israel was rescued by Deborah. God did a great work. And what did they do? They had peace for 40 years. They were prospering. They were doing great. And what did they do again? They forgot the Lord again. They forgot the Lord in all of their prosperity and all of their peace and quiet. They forgot God. So what happens? Judges chapter 6, verse 1. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And I almost want to write in there again. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand, at the hand of Midian, delivered in them for 7 years. Now watch this, verse 2. Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites. Listen, the children of Israel made for themselves there in dens and caves and strongholds, which are in the mountains. So it was, verse 3, whenever Israel had sown, that is, planted its crops, the Midianites would come up. Also Amalekites, and the people of that were toward the east would come up against them. Verse 4, then they would encamp against the Israelites and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza. That's just about the entire nation. And that Gaza, by the way, that you see in your Bible, is the Gaza that you see on your map today. Same place. And they would leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey, for they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming up as numerous as locusts. But they and their camels were without number, and they would enter into the land to destroy it. So verses 1 through 5, we learn this, that we need a man to arise because Israel needs a revival. But here's the thing. It says in verse 1, so the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midianites. Now, what's interesting about this is that the Midianites were a people group that went way back. Do you remember when Moses was in Egypt and he saw two Israelites fighting? And do you remember that an Egyptian got up there and got in the way of it, and Moses saw what happened and he struck the Egyptian down and killed him and buried him in the sand? And then when the thing was found out, remember Moses took off and he was gone for how long? 40 years in the land of Midian. He meets Jethro, he's got a wife, all that's going on. The land of Midian, that is the land of Midian. It's a regional area. If you have a good geographical mind, it's southern regions of Jordan today and portions of Saudi Arabia today. The land that is the Midianites is a large, vast land. They're pagan worshipers. They worship all kinds of ancient Babylonian gods. They have all kinds of deities. They're very, very pagan. And so that's who these people are. What they did was, they were marauders. And they not only did it to Israel, they did it to other people groups as well. But what they would do is that they knew that in certain areas of crops related to weather and topography, based upon that, they would conduct their raids, meaning that there were places that certain times of the year for vineyards, they would go and raid all the grapes or the wine harvest of it all. Then there's certain areas where they'd go get all the corn, or certain areas that they would go get those kinds of things. They realized that Israel, at a certain time of the year, it was advantageous for them to come and attack Israel. They did this over and over and over again. Here's what Israel would do. Now remember, Israel had long time now departed from God. She's involved in pagan worship. She is going after other gods. The Lord has been quietly waiting for Israel to repent. She's not repenting. She's not listening. But she's, in a sense, riding on cruise control. She's continuing on with all the blessings of God. But what happens now, this enemy begins to come in. And as soon as Israel had worked hard to plant the crops, watered them, and tended to them, and the harvest time comes, what would happen? The Midianites would rush in and seize all the booty. What a great way to go. And Israel then would fall into severe economic peril, starvation, and they had nothing to eat. And this went on for some 7 years. The Midianites were attacking them. And so over and over again, this was happening. And yet, listen, church, for whatever reasons, they did not cry out to God for 7 years. Now, see, we don't understand this stuff because you know what? When we're hungry, winter, spring, summer, or fall, we go to Vons. We go to Trader Joe's or Henry's. We go to the market. First time we brought one of our Russian translators, it was such amazing. Lisa and I picked her up at LAX, and we came from LAX. She goes from Russia, never been in the West before, from Russia. Flies from Moscow to Los Angeles. We pick her up, and we stop at the supermarket to get stuff to cook that night. And Larissa comes into the store with us, and she saw Valencia oranges, navel oranges, tangerines of different style, all the citrus stuff, lemons, big lemons, small lemons. And she asked us this question, and it was this: people must come from all over the region to shop at this store. Where's all the people? And we said, you know what? There's almost one of these stores on any street that you head down. And some direction, you're going to hit a store. She couldn't believe it. There were big potatoes, small potatoes, red potatoes, white potatoes, brown potatoes. She couldn't believe it. And in Russia, if you want to get potatoes, you buy potatoes in one store, and then you trek across town, and you buy meat at some other store. Then you go back to some other part of the town and buy and get cheese. Shopping's a day or two event. Seriously. She couldn't believe it. Israel has none of this now. They've got nothing. 7 years they did not cry out to God. Why did they not cry out to God? It took them 7 years to be humbled enough to cry out. Can we be that stubborn? Can we allow ourselves to be subjected to pillage and toil and pain without consulting God for up to 7 years' time? Apparently, we can do that. There is something about us where we can dig our heels in, and maybe it's the ultimate of pride where we just won't cry out to Him. I don't know. You say, well, I don't know if that's possible, Jack, but wait a minute. What about friends that you and I know who you have been sharing Jesus with forever? And their life seems to go from one disaster ricocheting off another disaster to another disaster. And you want to pull your hair out because you see them suffering through so much, but they still won't bow to God. You know that? Have you seen that happen? Maybe it's family, or maybe it's moms or dads or sons or daughters. If they would just turn. Isn't that what the Lord says? Turn ye, for why will you perish, saith the Lord. He says, I want to lead you with my right hand, but I got to put a bridle and a bit in your mouth and pull on you like a wild donkey. Isn't that tremendous? And so the Lord, it is amazing. The Lord delivers Israel into the hands of the Midianites for 7 years. Now listen, church, listen, tune in. Were the Midianites the problem? The Midianites were not the problem. Israel was their problem. Israel was its own problem. Listen, this is bizarre, and it's true around the world, at all times. There is what looks like your problem. Oh my goodness, the Midianites. Oh, how could you deliver us into their hands? Wait a minute. The Midianites are not the problem. It's the sin that Israel was engaged in that was the problem. The Midianites were a symptom of their sinning. There are things that you and I, our nation, can allow in that is the reason why we suffer so much. There is things that you will allow into your life. Maybe it's apathy, slothfulness, laziness, or maybe it's aberrant doctrine or thinking, you know, whatever. When you let those things in and then calamity befalls, how dare we? How dare I say, God, what are you doing? He is completely justifiable and right to part the sky and say, Jack, you brought this upon yourself when you walked away from me. How many times do we hear, oh, God, I can't believe God did this. God did not do it. It says that He delivered them into the hands of the Midianites because their sin took them there. God just simply backed away and kind of dusted His hands from it. It's not God, as much as you'd like it to pin it on Him. It's us. It's ourselves. The Midianites were just the fruit of their disobedience. It's always the sin. It's always the sin of an individual that brings peril and judgment to that person. When someone else, listen, if someone else sins against us, church, if someone sins against you, you're not going to go into hardship or peril because of that. That person that sinned against you might, unless they repent. But if somebody comes against you, they're sinning, you're not sinning. That person's responsible, though others be hurt, I understand. But listen, when you and I launch out to disobey God or to hurt someone, God will judge us. You say, not us, right? We're Christians. No, he judges us more. We are his children. He spanks his kids, even if the state of California is trying to make that illegal. God spanks his kids. And he will always spank his kids, no matter what Sacramento decides. God spanks his kids, and he doesn't spank anybody else. He doesn't spank Satan's kids. He only spanks his own because he loves his own. And he raises them up rightly. It's always the sin of the family that brings judgment upon the family. Have you ever seen have you ever seen the history of certain families? There's some famous families where you can research them, and I don't know if you've ever done this, but there are some really amazing books. I know Dr. A.E. Wilder Smith actually wrote one of his books, and he worked with criminals in Europe, and he looked at serial killers and throughout history, and some of these serial killers in Europe, their parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, they were serial killers also, or very, very lawless people. Have you read in the Bible where it says that I will visit the sins of the fathers upon the children to the fourth and fifth generation? That doesn't mean God says, oh man, too bad for you, I'm so sorry, you're a sweet kid, but you know, your great-great-great-great-grandpa was a real loser, and so now you've got to be a loser too. That's not what it means. That's not what it means. It means that the sin that runs in that family will continue until that chain is broken. And Christ breaks that chain. God breaks that. If you say, man, Pastor Jack, I don't know what to do. I come from a long line of losers. My father was a mugger. My grandpa was a mugger. My mother was a mugger. We're all a bunch of muggers. Listen, come to Jesus and break the chain. He does that. He breaks it. That's why, listen, we've been freed from whatever past, listen, from whatever past we've had, we've been freed from that in Christ. It could be, listen, that we found, maybe it's not the negative, maybe it's the big positive. Oh, I come from a long line of blue bloods. Royalty. Well, watch out. You get your head so pumped up about that, that you couldn't get it into heaven. Listen, we all have to come to Christ, repenting of our sins. It's a tragic thing, too, when all that kind of stuff magnifies from an individual to a family, and a family makes a nation. And when a nation heads down a path of sin, judgment comes. And that's what Israel had done.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Let a Man Arise. It's a presentation taken from the book of Judges chapter 6, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Remember that we recently wrapped up Pastor Jack's examination of the New Testament letter to the Ephesians. Well, we've placed that entire series all onto one MP3 CD. So, here's our offer. For your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio, of any amount, we'll be happy to send you Pastor Jack's series in Ephesians on one MP3 CD. You can call, click, or write. Just be sure and indicate the Ephesians Study Series on MP3 CD. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. You can also visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or you can send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be located at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.